Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today we talk about the first car launches of 2018 from Haas, Williams, Red Bull, Sauber and Renault. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Vogel. Hello everyone to episode 77 of the Fastest Lap podcast. And the start of the 2018 season is getting closer and closer. And in the last few days, five teams revealed their challenger for 2018. So which car impressed you most so far, Fergal?
I guess everyone's really just been talking about the Red Bull and the way the livery that they came out with. But yeah, I think the first we had the first launch from Haas, and that kind of came out of nowhere. We aren't really expecting it. We knew that that Williams was going to be launching on the 15th, and then on the evening of the 14th, Haas just came out of nowhere with the launch of their new car.
And just want to say it wasn't really a launch. It was just like, we just published a picture on social media and that's it.
Yeah, it was just really a rendered image on social media. But yeah, I think the biggest talking point from probably both Haas and Williams launch was the side pods and how they clearly took from Ferrari and the design that they came out with last year, which kind of backs up just how well Ferrari did last year in terms of their aerodynamics.
So you're talking about the size and how far back they placed the side pod inlets today, or are you talking about the whole aero structure around the side pods and around the inlets?
You were mainly the shape. I mean, last year when we had the Ferrari launch, that was kind of the biggest talking point from Ferrari, the shape of their new side pod, you know, the real narrow gap. And it's clear to see that Haas and Williams have taken that approach. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many more teams do that also.
I mean, with all the launches, I'm always kind of thinking like, yeah, nice to see the new car, but to be honest, I think plenty of parts are still not on it, and they're using some 2017 parts and maybe even some fake parts. I read that or some people posted online that they read in the Adrian Newey book that Red Bull actually put some fake parts on their cars in previous launches, just to, well, they didn't want to give away their secrets. So yeah, it's always kind of difficult to read things into those car launches, but what we can actually read, well, of course we can see those massive concept changes, as you said, with the side pods and stuff. And also I think you can, on the first view, you can actually see how complex some areas of the car are already in that launch spec, which gives you maybe an indication on how far down the route they are in terms of aero development. But on the other side, of course, I mean, the livery is the obvious part we can actually see with those launches. Maybe, yeah, starting with the first two, Haas and Williams. Well, with the Haas car, I mean, we've seen plenty of great designs from Sean Bull and other people online, but I'm kind of disappointed, to be honest. How about you with that Haas livery?
I'm not really disappointed. It looks a lot more like their season one livery, which I think is a lot better than the one that they used last year. I don't think it looks particularly bad. I remember back in 2016 when they launched the car, I didn't really like the livery, but I mean, as time went on, I did kind of get a bit it was not that I didn't get used to it, but I just kind of realized that it wasn't really that bad. And yeah, you could sort of see. I just wanted to add in about Haas and Williams, and about the aero and their designs. The rendered images were quite dark, and even the bottom part of the Williams car was painted black. I'm sure come pre-season testing that part of the car would be white. I think they just like to cover up those things.
You think so?
I'd be surprised if it was kept black. I thought it was there just to hide a lot of departments of the car, and same with the Haas. You know, it's very dark at the bottom, and the images released were quite dark anyway. But yeah, I mean, overall, the Haas livery, I don't think looks that bad. And then the Williams livery, yeah, I mean, it's the same again as it's been since 2014. But I mean, I don't think anybody was really expecting a major change. I mean, I think the only positive is I think the Martini livery is actually quite nice. And I
And
think we're just.
they integrated it nicely with the driver number with that
Yeah.
little shark fin there.
Yeah, I was gonna say that actually. The number looks really, really good at the back of the car. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of been the same livery now for what, 5 years in a row for Williams. But I think I'm a big fan of the Martini livery. I think it looks really good, so.
Yeah, it really does. Although I honestly think that the livery with that black bottom half of the car is here to stay because, well, maybe they wanted to change something. And on the other hand, if they really wanted to hide something, I mean, those are rendered pictures. I mean, it's pretty easy to just remove some of those more delicate parts out of the image there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we'll wait and see next week in pre-season testing, but I just seen a lot of suggestions and comments saying that that was the case, and it kind of makes a sense for them to do that. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
And now coming to the third launch, actually of 2018, which, well, when I first saw the image on my phone on my way home, I thought like, what has Red Bull done to the livery? It was like that's kind of looks strange from far away. It looks kind of a bit like the Toro Rosso of last season, minus the red parts, you know, with that kind of silver whitish looking bull and the bluer main part of the livery. But then again, well, Red Bull announced that this whole Carmo Bull livery is a testing livery, but yeah, basically social media exploded. #RB14 was trending, and yeah, a lot of people seem to like this new approach to the Red Bull livery. And I have to say, now I'm kind of okay with it, although I still really like the traditional Red Bull logo. What about you?
Yeah, I actually think that this camel livery looks really well. It's a lot different from what Rebel usually go for. And yeah, I mean, we're gonna get a return, I imagine, to the traditional liveries next week in pre-season, or sorry, after testing. I think they're presenting the new livery in the Barcelona pit lane, but I don't think they'll be running with it throughout testing. So yeah, I mean, a lot of people seem to really, really like it. I mean, I do as well. It's something new, different from Red Bull. And yeah, it's the second time in a few years that they've run with a camo livery. I mean, the last one that they ran with in 2015 was yeah, the Dazzler Cam, which was something else. And yeah, I think it looked pretty good. And there was also a bit of there was a bit of confusion I seen on Reddit, where there was images and of the car on track on two different websites. I think on the Formula One website and then on the Red Bull website it might have been, and the aero parts of the two different of the two images were different. You know, there was the cars kind of looked a bit different to one of the sections of the cars at the side. So yeah, that was pretty interesting. I still don't really know what the deal was there, but yeah, that was an interesting find.
Talking about the bits on the side, basically the whole bargeboard area, it looks really, really interesting and really, really complex. Although, as I said, we don't know whether this will actually make it to the real car. But the front part of the bargeboards look like they copied it from the McLaren car last season. I think they used some kind of that, and the more outer part alongside the side pod looks a lot like what Mercedes introduced last season. So I mean, every time I look at the barge boards of the 2017 or 18 cars, I'm really impressed. And I mean, you have to spend so much time in CFD, wind tunnel, and whatever to get all the aero elements right. There's, you have the airflow correct towards the rear end of the car. I mean, it's just a work of art, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the attention to detail in these past couple of years in terms of aerodynamics has been incredible. And, you know, every little piece of carbon fiber, every angle that it's at, you know, it all makes a huge difference. And yeah, it's only going to get more and more complex and more advanced as the years go on, until we have the next change of regulations in terms of aerodynamics.
Yep. And one thing that I think is really fitting to the testing livery is the new Aston Martin sponsorship. They are now much more present on the Red Bull car, on the whole rear wing, on the front and the back side, and also near the driver along the chassis. I mean, it looks good on the testing livery, and of course it is reported that Aston Martin is paying a lot of money to get this presence on the Red Bull car for this season. Although it is less space or less present than the Infinity sponsorship a few years back, right?
Yeah, and I'm actually a big fan of the Aston Martin sponsor, because I have a if there was a car brand that would be my favorite, it would be Aston Martin. I just think all their cars are incredible. So yeah, it's good to see them back, I suppose, in a more prominent role. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how this partnership between Red Bull and Aston Martin plays out, because there is strong rumors about Aston Martin coming back into Formula One in 2021, when the new engine regulations kick in. So yeah, we'll wait and see for that, but I for one really, really hope that does happen.
Yeah, and I think the Red Bull of this season has by far the longest name, isn't it? Like something like Aston Martin Red Bull Racing Tech Heuer RB13, whatever. It's like the name's going on forever. I think Formula One, the F1 management or Liberty needs to, I don't know, have a special TV graphics where the name fits in.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, but I'm sure they'll fit something. But it is, yeah, definitely quite a long name.
All right, so let's go to the other two outstanding launches we have to talk about. And they actually launched today, as we are recording on Tuesday this week. So we wanted to get those launches in too. And of course, in the next episode, we will discuss the launches of the major, the bigger teams in Formula One: Ferrari, Mercedes, and McLaren, of course. Let's talk about the kind of other interesting launch from today. Well, we had a little preview of how the Alfa Romeo Sauber car might look like when they presented the livery on an older, I think it was kind of a 2011-2012 car. And yeah, my fears, they came true, and they presented that kind of, in my opinion, kind of boring half white, half red livery. I just think they could have done so much more with the Alfa Romeo sponsorship, but yeah, at least from the back, or kind of some angles from the rear, and they look quite cool, but all in all, it's kind of meh. What do you think?
I don't really know what people were expecting. It was kind of obvious that this was the livery that was going to be launched. I mean, they pretty much showcased the livery back in December. I think it was December. But yeah, I mean, I think it looks okay. A bit plain, but I mean, red and white is the Alfa Romeo colors. You know, it was never really going to be anything else. Yeah, some people seem to be disappointed, other people seem to love it, but the way I see it, you know, we had Sauber, I think today alone on this Tuesday, announced like three new sponsors.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good that they're attracting sponsors, and that they're getting more money in, and I'd much rather them spend millions on car developments and everything like that rather than on delivery. It would be great to see Sauber back in the region it was in 2011-2012, when it was getting podiums on certain occasions, and it was, you know, able to fight for points nearly every race. So I think it's sort of 2018 can't be worse for Sauber than 2017 was. I mean, they have a deal with Alfa Romeo, they have up-to-date Ferrari engines, they have Leclerc in the car, which should be exciting, but you know,
hopefully.
I just wanted to say that it's pretty amazing to see just how much people are praising Leclerc, and how much people are, you know, shunning Ericsson when Leclerc hasn't even driven the F1 car yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Leclerc is a good driver, and he's proved that in Formula 2 last year. I mean, GP3 he was pretty good, in Formula 2 he was outstanding, but you know, I'm not going to call him amazing just yet until I see him actually race the car, and because once you get to Formula 1, it's a completely different arena for him. So we'll wait and see, but I would expect him to do pretty well, and I think if the rumors about him potentially going to Ferrari in 2019 are true, I mean, that's what Sky Italy and Sky Sports in the UK are reporting, that that's a possibility, then you'd kind of want to hope that he is a good talent. But yeah, we'll wait and see on that one.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that. People overhype him, I have the feeling, in the last few weeks, and yeah, he has to prove himself against Ericsson now, and might not be a difficult, an easy task. There is Ericsson is now, well, is it his fifth season or sixth?
Fifth.
Yeah, fifth season in Formula One. So he is no rookie. He's used to Formula One car, and yeah, if he actually outperforms Ericsson, I think it's a really, really good job. And then, as you said, as a Ferrari junior driver, there's a big opportunity that he might replace Kimi Raikkonen at Ferrari sooner rather than later. And yes, coming back to that point you made about the sponsorships, I mean, I'm really, really, really happy to see Sauber signing those sponsorships, because, well, over the last few years, the car, sometimes looked a bit empty, and you just had you had a feel for them, and thinking like, there's no money coming in, and there's no real interest from sponsors. But yeah, as you said, with that Alfa Romeo sponsorship and the cooperation with Ferrari and so on, I think they are on a good way, and Fred Vasseur is really doing a good job. Coming more to the car aerodynamics side of that Sauber. I think the one thing that's really outstanding, well, of course, they also adapted that kind of new sideport layout, but I think the most obvious one is the nose. And yeah, the kind of looks an interesting interpretation of the nose design. Kind of looks like the Force India one from last year, but with smaller inlets.
Yeah, exactly. It's different from their nose of last year when they had no underlying bodywork. This time it's just, yeah, basically two nostrils. I'm guessing it is inspired from Force India's concept. It doesn't look the same, but it looks similar.
It looks better.
Yeah, it does, definitely. It looks a lot better. So yeah, if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, well, maybe it might not show very well, because there's a good chance that Sauber could be at the back of the grid anyway. So
yeah, and I've got the pictures in front of me. Is Sauber the only car in launch spec that has the aero modification to the halo? Yes, we have to talk about the halo.
I'm surprised. I was going to mention it a few minutes ago. I'm surprised that we've gone, yeah, just over 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Haven't spoken about the halo yet. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, now that we are at the topic, let's talk about the halo. I mean, I think I voiced my disapproval of the halo a few times before.
A few.
You might have noticed, maybe, but I have to be honest. I mean, I still don't like it. I would love to get rid of it, but honestly, it's a few weeks ago I was really like, oh man, I cannot look at that car with that thing on. It's like the most terrible thing ever. And now it's more like, well, yeah, there is that thing, but the car around it still is a good looking race car, you know. And I, my eyes and brain are working together to kind of, yeah, to focus on the other stuff around it and just, yeah, don't focus on it. And when the car is on track, when the camera is maybe a bit further away, it's not the biggest problem. So yeah, I kind of got used to it already. I still don't like it, but yeah, I don't have to jump out of the window or something when the first race is on.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, my opinion on it, I mean, I don't like it. I don't like the look of it. But I do like that we're sort of moving towards head protection. It's not the best looking system at all, but if it works, it works. And if it saves a life, you know, then it's, you know, or if it saves a life or prevents an injury, then it's 100% justified. But yeah, I mean, when the cars were launched, my eye was never really drawn to the halo. It was nearly the last thing that I took in. I mean, for the Haas launch, the halo kind of blended in with the dark background, and it was, yeah, I think, just hard to see anyway. But yeah, the last few launches, I mean, I kind of looked at the livery and then the nose, and then I realized, oh, and you know, the nose and the side pods and the rear wing, and then I was like, oh, there's the halo there as well, you know. So I think by the end of preseason testing, most people will have gotten used to it. And yeah, I mean, it's just it's not the prettiest solution, but it is the best solution right now. So I mean, if you really hate it that much and don't feel like watching F1 because of it, then just don't watch F1. I mean, you clearly don't love the sport enough if you're not willing to watch it with just an ugly device, when you know that the racing and the action and the fight for the world championship is going to remain the same.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say something, and then I you came up with the good racing, and I thought like, oh, and the cars are even more dependent on downforce this season. Yeah. That's going to be an interesting one. Yeah, I can't remember what I wanted to say, but yeah, I think we that's the Halo part for this episode. And let's focus on cars again. Can you actually remember? I know now. I know what I wanted to say. Have you seen the? I'm sure you've seen the Red Bull car on track in Silverstone, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, even with, of course, those are not FOM camera angles, but yeah, when the cars, and it was helped by that we had some spray, but when you saw the car on track, the halo wasn't really, that much in the visibility, or you couldn't really see it too much, right?
No, not really. I mean, the Red Bull on track looked pretty good as well. And I think
pretty high rake as well.
Yeah, it was. But I mean, the wet tires do raise the car off the ground more because of they're a lot bigger than the slick tires. Mm. So that kind of gave the impression of the higher rake. But Red Bull usually does go for a high rake anyway. But I think maybe Ricciardo wanted to take the halo for a bit of a test because he actually crashed the car. I mean, I think it was only a bit of a minor crash and the front wing was damaged, I believe. But yeah, I say that was pretty embarrassing for him.
Yeah, reminded me of the, when was it? A few years back when they ran the black and white caramel livery. I think it was Fiat as well who crashed the car, and then the car had to run like the rest of the day without a front wing.
Yeah. So,
yeah, no, actually, I think that's enough about Halo and the Sauber as well. Can you actually remember which team or which car livery we picked as our livery of the season for last year?
I think it was Toro Rosso, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. Never mind. Let's talk about Renault.
I think the Renault was a very close contender, but yeah, we picked Toro Rosso.
Yeah, and last year I really liked the Renault livery. It looked really cool with the black and yellow elements and that yellow line on top of that shark fin. I thought it looked really good. And yeah, today Renault launched their 2018 car, and again, I mean, I just have to look at the car and say, well done, Renault. That livery looks great.
Yeah, I agree. It looks looks very good. I think I don't really, I mean, it's rendered. The pictures are rendered. So, and I've seen a few different images, and it kind of seems that the shade of yellow seems to be a bit inconsistent. And I don't really know which is the actual, what shade of yellow it actually is. But it does, yeah, the majority of the images I've seen, it does look a bit of a paler, lighter yellow. And yeah, the, I guess one of the biggest difference on the livery, I guess you could say, is the driver number and the way that it's kind of just outlined in the different font. I think it looks really good, and it could well be a contender for the livery of the season at the end of the year, but I'm certainly a fan of it straight off the bat.
Yeah, and I think the best shot of the car is from the side, really, and maybe kind of from the rear a bit. Looking at it straight on, it's a bit too much yellow, and yeah, as you said, it kind of looks like the yellow is a bit brighter than last year, maybe. I don't know, it's difficult to say from those renders, but I think in terms of color integration, I think the halo looks quite integrated with that Renault car, as it's using the black and yellow color scheme.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fine. I think Yeah, I thought we were done talking about the Halo, but
Oh,
I think
sorry. I mean that arrow device above the driver's head.
yeah, actually, I just wanted to say one thing about the Halo, and I kind of just said this. Well, I don't think I've ever really said it. Maybe I said it once, but from the side, from a direct side shot of the car, I don't think the Halo looks bad at all.
I agree.
Yeah, but then I think kind of when you get to the front and it sort of widens at that middle part, I think that's kind of the killer of it. But yeah, I mean it's integrated pretty well with the into the Renault.
And yeah, I think a few people noticed it on Twitter that yeah, the side pods aren't as far back as other cars, and yeah, we still have the Aero Cat on the side of the Renault. So yeah, a few people are suggesting that this car on those renders is by far not the car we will see in Australia. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's very possible. Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, teams like to hide these things and definitely are hiding things. So, yeah, we'll see at pre-season testing just what the teams, what the finalized cars for the teams are.
So that's that are all the launches from the last few days. Yeah, some pretty interesting liveries, also some interesting aero solutions, I must say. And now this week, a few other teams are coming up. Do you have the dates in front of you?
I don't have them in front of me, but I think I know. Well, Mercedes and Ferrari are launching on Thursday, which is the 22nd. McLaren on the 23rd, and then Force India and Toro Rosso will be showing their cars in Barcelona, I think, on the 25th, which is the day before testing gets underway. So that's this Sunday.
Okay, so yeah, I think in our next episode we can discuss all new cars, correct then? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So yeah, I think that's definitely something to look forward to. And yeah, I'm really interested to see the Ferrari this season, as there are rumors that it could be all red. When was actually the last time it was all red? Was it 2007, right?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a very good question. I'm not too sure,
Two, no,
actually.
two, eight, two, 2008 as well. Nine, it wasn't, I think. Well, yeah, we will see what the car will look like on the 22nd. But I think you heard those rumors as well that it should be all right.
I think it was 2015. I don't know. I'd like to look at pictures. I don't want to say anything in case I embarrass myself. So, yeah. I do like the whole red Ferrari. So, yeah, it'd be a good thing I think to go back to that if it does go back to that.
And also McLaren might be interesting, as we, well, if this year they don't launch a car that's completely orange, I think then they never will, because they had so many teasers, and I think the car will be papaya orange this season, right?
Yeah, I think there definitely will be papaya orange on it, but I've also seen a lot of suggestions that there's going to be some sort of silver or something as well. I don't know. I mean, I guess only the people at McLaren know, but I imagine that the McLaren launch on Friday is probably going to be the most anticipated launch of all of them so far.
All right, so yeah, that's definitely something to look forward to, and of course we will cover that in our next episode then. Until then, have a good time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.